started?
You're not even started yet.
Let the record show that we have a quorum. Representative Jaroff, Representative Metcalf, Representative Hurlburt, and Representative Cato. This morning, before the committee, we have confirmation hearings on William Barrington and David George for the Marine Pilots Board. Would you two like to go forward? You have, if you'll notice, actually autobiographical sketches and partial resumes of each of the people that we are to confirm.
One of them, a lawyer, Madam Chair.
Mr. George, are you an attorney?
Yes, I am. Vote him out.
I assume from that. If you take just a jiffy to read those, and you also have here a performance review of the Board of Marine Pilots, June 15, 1979. Do we have Mr. Barrington is the one on your? I got to turn this way. On your right, Mr. George, on your left. Depending on where you're sitting.
Madam Chairman, these are reappointments to the Board of Marine Pilots.
Mr. Barrington's appointment, I believe, is new. And Mr. George is a reappointment. He came before a committee last year to be confirmed. He was filling out an unexpired term and is now being reappointed.
Okay, this is to the Board of Marine Pilots. So.
Right, exactly.
What do they do?
That's exactly the question I was going to ask. Perhaps we'll address this to Mr. George, as much as he's been on the board for a year. What exactly are the duties of the board?
Well, Madam Chairman, the primary duty of the board is to regulate the licensed pilots within the state, to issue the licenses, to take care of revocation or suspension procedures in the event that their conduct doesn't measure up to the standards of a Marine pilot. Marine pilots are the folks who jump on the boats right before they get into port and bring them into port, hopefully safely, avoiding the shoals and not knocking down any of the docks. My understanding of the law is that any foreign vessel over 500 gross tons must have a marine pilot when it enters the waters of the state of Alaska. Domestic vessels, and Bill can correct me if I'm wrong, that are enrolled under U.S. registry don't have to. Lately, we've also found ourselves in the position of having to establish standards for tariffs. It's the board's duty to also set tariffs for pilots, determining what their fees are for any given act of pilotage between specific points.
Your board, I understand, is working on that at the present time. Is that true?
We adopted regulations regarding that at the last meeting.
What type of budget do you have?
It's fairly small. I'm trying to think. I just got a budget report from occupational licensing, and they could probably tell you more accurately than I. But I believe that the budget last year was something in the neighborhood of $7,000. That was exceeded. We had a tariff hearing on the Southwest Pilots Association, which is basically everybody north of Yakutat. Primarily involves Kachemak Bay, Cook Inlet, and the Aleutians, where the majority of the pilotage goes on. There weren't really any standards that had been adopted to determine what the tariff should be, so an independent hearing officer was hired, a gentleman by the name of Dick Edwards, a banker who was a specialist in public utilities law. He conducted approximately a week-long hearing, issued an order setting the tariff, and when we got the order, we came to learn that the way he'd set it up was more or less like a public utility, requiring auditing of accounts, expenses, so forth. On our review of the highlighted statutes. And considering the budget allocations, it became apparent to us that that really wasn't what was anticipated by the legislature. We were sure we're supposed to set tariffs, but an audit procedure under public utilities type of rate setting, we'll ask the public utilities commission or something, is an extremely expensive thing. You have to have accountants fill in and conduct full-blown audits on folks. I think his services ran the position of occupational license about $10,000. So,
Representative Robert,
how big was your budget? It's about 7,000, I think. Now, that's a guess.
Is it cheaper for you to fly or ride the ferries?
Well, it's longer to ride the ferries.
Well, that's why I was asking.
I don't think you can take the ferries from here all the way up to Anchorage, can you? You can get the Haines.
There's a lot of marine pilot ferries.
But so we had to.
What is your interaction and relationship with the hiring policies, unions, and anything like that? Is there one?
Well, yes and no, I think. Pilots are primarily members of two associations, Southeast Pilots Association and the Southwest Pilots Association, which is the northern group of folks. The tax returns that they submit are a lot like partnership returns. They have capital accounts, all that sort of thing. The two pilot members who are on the board are members of those associations, one from Southeast Association, one from Southwest. So to the extent that they're members of their own association and want to have their interests advanced, and at the same time are members of the board, yeah, there is an overlap. But direct hiring, we don't get into that.
You don't get involved with the hiring policies, the union negotiations.
We license
or advice.
Well, they're licensed by us, the pilots, whether they're a member of the association or whether they're an independent pilot. And the tariffs are set by us, so the fees they charge are set by
fees
us.
Fees they who?
They would charge the owners of the vessels that they're piloting for.
That's before your review.
Right. Now, as far as who actually gets hired on a particular boat or ship to go in and out of port, Bill could probably give you a better idea of that. He's an agent for the owners and actually goes out and makes the contact with the pilots.
At the present time, you have pilots. I think what I'm asking is does the board do an oversight on the coordination of pilots throughout the state?
Well, I suppose not per se. We review ASTA reports, that sort of thing. Perhaps I don't understand the question, Jim.
I think probably what I'm getting at is do the same pilots work, do pilots work in a specific area all the time, or do they work in various areas of the state?
They're licensed for specific areas, and they have to take not only a general examination, but a specific examination on any area in which they want to have a license to make sure that they're up on where the shoals are. And
are there any licenses unlimited? I know you have limited licenses. Are there any unlimited?
Yeah, there are limited and unlimited licenses. They speak primarily to size of the vessel, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, an unlimited license means you can jump on any ship that comes in, whether it's 600 feet long or 2 feet long, I guess. I don't know, Bill, but the majority of the pilots are limited or unlimited.
I think they're mostly unlimited. Some particular different areas. Eventually become unlimited pilots from experience.
Right. Mr. Barrington, inasmuch as you're going to be after your confirmation, will be the new member of the board, are you familiar with the activities of the board, how it runs?
Yes, ma'am.
This sort of thing. Could you be a little more specific and tell us a little bit about?
I attended one meeting in February. And from reading of the of prior meetings and so forth. I have some working knowledge of what the board's function is.
All right. I was a little curious to that, and because always, I mean, these appointments are stimulated by one reason or another, and wanted to ascertain, you know, where your knowledge lay. Representative Hurlbut?
You test the pilots and issue the licenses. Is that?
Yeah, that's correct. In with the assistance of
obviously they have to take quite a bit of. They have to go to school and learn all this stuff. If you test them on that, is there any place where? You know, in this state, just because you're a lawyer, we still in this state, I understand, have a more or less, what do you call it, an apprentice system? What's the...
You work your way up through the ranks.
Yeah. There's a word for it, I'm gagging at, but it's basically an apprentice system where you... No, it's a big, long word lawyers use. it's an apprentice system, basically. In fact, I know
internship, isn't it?
Huh?
Internship.
No, there's a lawyer that did that, and it's McCutcheon done that. That's how he got his lawyer's license. Is there any way that we can shortcut going to school and make an apprenticeship program, if you will, for Marine pilots in Alaska, where they would undercut some of the requirements of going to school to be licensed and on the job training, if you will, that we apprenticed it out and then go to school for the more technical aspects of it? Would that be a viable option? Because the reason I ask that question is Alaskans are not getting into the program, and it's come to my committee in the Labor Commerce Committee that Alaskans aren't, they have to draw from the outside basically, because most of your Alaskans aren't very close to a school, and we're trying to get a trade off with California to send them to school and so forth. Would you comment on that? Is there
I'll take a first
Well,
we looked at that last year, or actually, we didn't look at it. The Commerce Committee last year. Expressed the displeasure over the fact that there weren't that many Alaskans who were pilots, or at least it seemed that the new pilots were coming up from down south.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really, as far as on-the-job training, there's not much you can do, because you've got to have a master's license from the Coast Guard in order to get your pilot's license with the state. And of course, those regulations are fairly stringent and well-established, and there's probably nothing you can do to change those. We did come up with the idea of perhaps having an in-state maritime academy, which doesn't make a person a pilot per se, but it would qualify them as an officer on a ship upon completion of the maritime academy, rather than having to work their way up through the ranks as able-bodied seamen and so forth and so on for X number of years. It would short-circuit perhaps the first 4 or 5 years of your on-the-job training that you would otherwise be spent as a seaman other than an officer, and get you right into an officer status. Now, you still have to work your way up through the officer ranks. It is a problem. And one of the things that happens is that when the people cannot get jobs here, because the only place you can really work your way up through the ranks is on the ferry, now the Alaska Steamship is gone. And then you're bucking the personnel system on the ferry and the seniority that some of the older folks have. They're happy with their jobs. They're not really looking for mobility. They've got it wired and they like to stay that way. What happens is the people go outside to get their training. And when they're outside that long, they naturally tend to drift away from the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a catch-22 type of thing. You can't be a pilot without being an officer, and you can't be an officer without being an able-bodied seaman or having to go through school, and you can't go through school or really get that much experience as naval body seaman here in Alaska. So.
Is there a viable solution to the problem?
Well, we kind of suggested the Maryland legislature would spend some money on a study on the Maritime Academy.
Well, I know that that don't seem to me to be a solution because of the numbers that would be involved.
I don't know. That's what we didn't know.
I think there's an amendment to one bill when they were to put Marine pilots into this training school. I think they passed the bill.
Representative Jarrell.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. George, how often do you meet? I see by statute here you have to meet at least once a year.
Well, that's difficult to say. My understanding is before I got on board, which was, let's see, this is 81. About June, I guess, of last year, first meeting I went to. They were meeting twice a year. Since then, we've had, since June, we had a meeting, I think it was one in September, one in the summer, one in February, and we have one now. And the additional meetings were caused primarily because of the regulations and standards we were trying to adopt regarding tariffs. Hopefully, once those are up and going and everyone's been run through the procedure once, it will be a little less often. But twice a year is my understanding of the normal course.
Mr. Barrington, could I ask you, I noticed by your letter that you are employed by Alaska Maritime Agencies.
Yes.
And this, of course, has to do with your interest in being on the board. Exactly what does Alaska Maritime Agencies do?
We are agents for foreign ships coming in to Alaska to either lay to discharge foreign cargo or cargo destined for foreign countries. And we see that the vessel is provided with a pilot and a tugboat if necessary and linesmen and do the customs, immigration, public health, Coast Guard, agriculture reports that are required for each ship. It's kind of a coordinating job to get a group of people from several places to one to go aboard a ship and do the work and then leave.
Is it just foreign vessels that you deal with? Is there a branch of your office in Valdez?
Yes, we have an office in Valdez that does nothing but work in Valdez. And our office in Anchorage covers the rest of Alaska, except Southeastern.
Oh, the office of Valdez then handles the tankers.
That's right. For that
which are, there's only about five foreign tankers that come in there, am I right?
Yes.
And the rest are American bottoms?
Yeah. And they do work for the American tankers also. We do work for American ships, but they are only maybe 5% of our total workload. We have the military sea command tankers that come out of Washington and deliver fuel to Whittier, Anchorage, Kodiak, and Adak.
What about McKiskey at Cook Inlet?
Yes, we
do. Those pilots, I mean, do they have to have pilots to cook?
Yes. We have an office in McKiskey and one in Dutch Harbor also that are part of my domain.
I think what I wanted to bring out here was your interest and your affiliation with this type of thing. Fred, did I cut you off a minute ago?
Yeah, but go ahead.
I didn't mean to.
That's right.
Do you have something you want to say now?
No, go ahead and finish. Okay.
Representative Metcalf.
Now, Bill, you probably formulated some opinions over the years. What would you do, change, do differently that the Marine Pilots has done, or should have done in the past?
I think the meeting that I attended in February was very productive and they made the requirements for anyone seeking a tariff rate increase that certain documents be presented for the board's review. Their office expenses and their earnings, the number of pilots employed, whether full or part time, and it would give the board a much better working idea of the necessity to increase their tariff rates that are charged the industry. In other words, the ship owners pay these rates, and they should be regulated and closely looked at, I do believe, rather than just giving a carte blanche raise whenever one is asked for.
One more question. How would it affect your company? For example, many licenses require a residency. You have to be a resident for 90 days before you can gain a license. How would it affect your company if that requirement were made into the Marine Pilots Association to get a pilot's license? Would that?
It wouldn't
affect you adversely.
Affect us adversely. When I call the pilot station to supply a pilot to a ship coming in, he is supposed to be fully qualified and licensed to take a ship from where it arrives into the dock and then take it back out again. So we don't really, just so they furnish us with a properly qualified person, all that we're looking for.
So that would have an impact on your operations and to work toward the risk of employment. Increase the lax when employment in the system.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. George, I have a question. The two, I have a working knowledge of Captain Aldo, and knowing his wife, I haven't met him yet, but I do know his wife. And I think one of the things I wanted to ask, I have two things I'd like to ask. One is, are there masters who pilot their own ships and do not need the services of pilots?
Well,
I'll have to ask Bill to back me up on this. Perhaps you could take the question.
I think the law requires that any ship of certain gross tonnage, and depending upon its documentation, that it would require a state licensed pilot.
I understand, Bill, that there are, I think, about 10 of them sat for their Prince William Sound papers, am I right? That are our masters, and so if you have a dual master pilot, I think this is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Do they also put pilots aboard those ships?
I suppose it would be up to the discretion of the master.
Now, sometimes masters will request a pilot and not be required to have one, I do believe. I'm not too familiar with our operation in the Valdez area. I went there many times when the pipeline was being constructed, but after the Alaska Maritime opened their office there, well, then I was finished. I had no reason to go again.
How many pilot associations do you have that in the state?
There are two primary ones. That's Southeast Pilots and Southwest. There's also a smaller association that I think is of just recent origin, and that's the Aleutian Pilots Association.
You said that you just recently set tariffs. How were those tariffs determined prior to your setting up the regulations, the standards that you're now adopting?
Well, that's been kind of a curious procedure for several years, at least that's the way I understand it. My understanding is, well, what happened is that the agents, people like Bill, people who represent the industry side, and pilot representatives would get together more or less off the record, and they would work out some deal between them, and then they would, in the past, just bring this package to the board and say, here it is, and of course, the board being also members of the associations and agents who did the negotiations would pass it right on through. It was fairly expeditious, but I guess the Attorney General issued an opinion saying this is more or less antitrust, and you have the public to worry about, and you better start having some hearings and adopt some regulations, and that sort of thing, which inspired this last bit of the regulation adoption.
Which also probably increased the activity of the meetings of the board.
That's true.
Is that
and the budgetary expenses.
Fred, did you have some more questions?
No. I'm just kind of going through this performance review. One of the things there that we find, Madam Chairman, with the guide board, that when it gets down there to outlying areas, we find that the Alaskan residents in the state have a difficult time competing with these jobs because of their lack of knowledge or not being able to pass written examinations or whatever. And I notice in here you have 47 licensed pilots in the state. 31 actually live or reside within the state, and 16 pilots live in other states. How many of the 31 are actually Alaskan natives?
Well, I would have to say that I don't know what percentage that. By my chair, just represented. The pilots which I have met have really only been the pilots who've showed up at the meetings. Deal with me day to day. Perhaps Bill could answer that more effectively than I.
The people in the Southwest Pilots Association, the majority of them live in Homer, and they rotate to take care of the tankers in Valdez, I know. And Captain Aldow lives in Seward, as well as Captain Jack Johnson. So they are residents of the state of Alaska.
Myself, I'm not aware of any Native Alaskan pilots.
I think some of those that meet the barges outside of Bethel, jump aboard, those are the same ones, right? The pattern of them to the water.
Yeah, the Bethel area has been the pilot there. Mr. Olaf Sumstad. He has done the pilotage on the Prescott Quim for.
Well, I've personally flown out from Bethel out to meet boats that didn't have pilots to come into the river, you know, into Bethel. I know one or two that I remember from back, they were natives. And of course, it takes some tricky navigation to explore through there and not get drowned out because you're riding tight and all that. But I've flown them out to the barge. I guess those are the same kind of pilots that we're addressing, eh?
I don't think so.
I think there's a difference.
They were local, or people with local knowledge.
Well, that's what obviously these guys were. I have always admired them because they could navigate those things through the waters. What had local
Probably not licensed by the state.
Madam Chairman, I guess the point that I'm getting to, you know, we're looking at a substantial development the further west we go, not only with the renewable resources, but with some of the non-renewable resources as well. And I see an opportunity, maybe go along with what was in the Probert's thinking earlier, is that I don't see anything there that the, you know, that the board is doing that will start to bring, you know, Alaskan people in. And I'm not, you know, just zeroing in on Alaskan natives. I mean, you know, true Alaskan people. I would like to see this figure of 16 pilots living out of, you know, in other states down to zero. I think that's important. You know, I'm not saying that they're not entitled to these jobs, but if at least, you know, if they would remain at 16, at least this 31 figure should increase, because, you know, we are looking at substantial size vessels now getting involved in the fisheries and carrying products back and forth. You know, we're also looking at the possibility of oil development in the Bering Sea, Bristol Bay area, more than the Bering Sea, I should say. And I can just see that unless the board brings forth regulations to make it easier, or to at least allow these people to be a little bit more competitive in acquiring the license, that we are going to just simply establish the board here that's going to license people that are not from the state. And I saw in here there that one of the problems that the board had, and there were two reasons, I can't find it. I lost it. One was that the number of meetings that they had, only twice a year, brought about some of the problems in their slowness in reacting to specific problems. Also, the lack of support from the Attorney General's office on some of their decisions and getting adequate responses. So, you know, the board itself, I think, is a viable board and should have the support. I don't know how we can do it, you know, without looking into it more thoroughly.
I agree with some of the aspects of what you're saying, Fred. I also am concerned about Alaskan hire. One of the things that I do recognize, however, and that is that in order to become a pilot, you have to have a tremendous background, and almost all pilots are masters, are they not?
Yes.
And so they've gone through all that to become a master. Then they, the area that they choose to serve in, or so on and so forth, then they have to do a tremendous amount of study as far as charts and this sort of thing. And what would you say would be the amount of years it would take to actually become a pilot?
Well, according to Captain Maroney, who's one of the pilot members, from the time you enter the officer ranks, which would be third mate, the lowest officer, according to Captain Maroney, the minimum amount of time in which you can get to master status and have done all your work and got your hours in and so forth, 7 years.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I don't want to butt in all great here, but I'd like to bring a point that history bears out that we can do that, because when the Russians were over here had the whole pollution chain, they trained and made captains out of some of the Aleuts out there, and there was good ones.
You betcha,
right?
But, I mean, the regulations, as far as the Coast Guard has set up now at the present time, is that the estimation after you receive your pilot's, or I mean your master's license, then it takes, or after you get to be third mate, well, then it takes approximately 7 years.
Right, that's an estimation. You have to have so many hours as a third mate before you take your second mate's test, yes, and so forth and so on. If I might respond to some of the comments Representative Zorro made too, the twice a year meeting does slow us down, because if a problem is made aware, apparent to us at one of the meetings, and it requires a change in the regulations, well, you can't do that until you've given public notice and all that sort of thing. So the actual action on curing that problem is put off by necessity until the next meeting. Now, I don't know how you fix that without spending more money and having more meetings, and no one's excited about doing that these days. And with regard to the local hire, I would commend to the reading of any of the representatives the letter which we have submitted to Representative Hurlburt's committee. The board recognizes the problem that we've got with having to hire, or apparently the pilots have to hire people from outside the state to come in and fill these positions. There are, of course, constitutional problems with just saying you have to be an Alaska resident before you can be a pilot, and that's always in the courts. And we tried to approach it on the basis of maybe there's some economic ways we can channel people into the industry. And the letter really has come to the legislature and said, we don't have the resources to look into this, can you do it? Can you authorize the money for some kind of study or something?
All right. Representative Jarrett, do you have more questions?
I would be interested, Madam Chairman, there in to see, you know, possibly what direction there the board might take to alleviate some of these problems that were identified by the audit, and also something that would maybe indicate that there was a little bit more of some attunement towards you know, we can't go with strictly Alaskan hire, you know, but something there that would allow more Alaskans the opportunity to participate, whether it be written examinations, oral examinations, or whatever. You know, anybody, I'm assuming that once you assume this responsibility, well, that I imagine written examinations would be the best way to go, because of having to go through everything else to get to this stage. You would have to have some knowledge there in writing, but there's nothing that I see right now is that really there's that much of an incentive for an Alaskan there living out the chain to become that involved. I don't know how the board could do that myself.
Maybe in during the following week, maybe they could come up with a program, albeit you're handicapped, but you don't do the hiring, obviously, that you could contact the powers that be and get some ideas to where you could put in writing a trend towards that development, how you could see it done. Is that possible?
Madam Chairman?
Representative Jarrett.
Maybe I might ask there before you answer that question, do you have available to you, and I can't find anymore, any staff or?
Well, we have such staff as occupational licensing.
Through the department,
yeah.
And do they have an individual that's designated specifically to work with the board to keep the board up to date?
We have a secretary, but that secretary serves other boards as well, the guide board and electrician.
Yeah, well, I was looking at, you know, at recommendation number 5, the board should establish formal procedures to conduct its business more effectively and promote better communication with supporting agencies. Well, how the heck are they going to do that? You know, when they only meet twice a year.
Yes, Representative Metcalf.
Maybe some insight into what the legislature's dominant mood seems to be might be helpful here. There's a large perception in the legislature that we have throughout the ferry system, marine pilot system, these sorts of things, a runaway union situation, great deal of failure to pay any need for the last pilot throughout that industry as a whole. And it's an increasing concern for a large number of legislators. And there seems to be an inherent problem with it, and that is, frankly, not really legislators know very much about the marine industry. And so the problem's never been addressed. It doesn't get taken up. It might be, it appears it's probably incumbent on us to come up with legislative solutions for this sort of thing, if there is to be one, rather than frustratedly making occasional complaints. And I guess what Representatives our office probably getting at was might be wise of us to ask you as a group, would you be interested, first of all, and how would you feel about coming up with some proposed legislative changes and solutions to these kinds of problems? Because it's an unknown industry, and at least from my own perception, those very few legislators throughout the House and the Senate who don't share this opinion seem to be a small handful who have an interest in seeing who are advocates of the what the apparent majority sees as a problem. So anyway, I think that there's a large incentive, but not the background and expertise in the subject to attack the problem.
We certainly would be willing to do that as that's a bold statement I'll make all the qualifications. We set up a subcommittee last year, September, to deal exactly with this problem, the lack of Alaska pilots who are available. They met. We contacted various organizations, many corporations, some of the unions, seafarers unions, various institutions of maritime training throughout the country, Coast Guard. One of our folks talked to Admiral Hayes back in D.C. And it is a problem. There's no question about that. The problem that we face is twofold. The problem the state faces and we face is twofold. First of all, when you talk about pilots, you talk about the folks at the very top of the pyramid. You don't just hire more people and make pilots, because they have to go through all these years of training to get there.
Ask a question. Is that a state requirement or is that a federal requirement?
That's a federal and state requirement.
So it's not something we can change.
You still have to have a master's license and all that sort of thing. So if you're going to increase on the top, of course you've got to deep from the bottom. And the next question is, how do you feed from the bottom? There's only a ferry system in the state. That's regulated by real strict personnel and seniority rules. I don't know how we affect that. That's kind of your ball game, I guess, and not the pilot. That's a separate deal. And the other way to get around it that we could think of right off the top was some kind of schooling. But quite frankly, the problems we ran into were problems, just as you've mentioned, they're areas of expertise. They cover a fairly broad spectrum of problems. If there is going to be a school, first of all, yes or no, does it look feasible? Secondly, how do you set it up? Is it in conjunction with the university? Is it independent? Where do you put it? That's a political question. You wouldn't even presume the same thing about that. But the board is composed of people who more or less show up every so often. They get paid per diem. And we don't have the staff. We don't have the expertise. We don't have the resources to answer all those questions.
That's the reason for my question, is maybe that we ought to consider making that available to you in order to, for you to be able to then come back to us with some answers. And with that, I might pose one other question. A lot of the answers, this could be a result of not knowing enough about the marine or the industry. But a lot of the answers that I've seen posed to the questions seem to enhance or increase the problem and the expense rather than bring it under control. For example, creation of a pilot school. Now, with that, it could be my lack of knowledge of the industry. So with that comes the question. For example, suppose that we required a 90-day residency in order to get this license that's required from the state, just as we do with many, many other industries that come under occupational licensing. Now, if we were to do that, these, for example, 16 pilots who live outside the state, upon them not being able to renew their license, are there others who are close to the top of that pyramid who would, if the opportunity were available, be able to achieve the necessary requirements and move into those positions?
That I don't know, but I would suspect it's not a matter of people who are already pilots moving out so that other people can move in. There's a desperate need for pilots in the state. We could always use more.
That was the next question I was going to pose. To either of your knowledge, are there any pilots, Alaskan people, who are not and would be available who are not now working in the pilot situation?
I don't know any.
I don't either. I think one of the problems with the 16 people that Mr. Zaroff mentioned is the seasonality of the industry requirements in southeastern Alaska with the cruise ships and so forth. That season used to last from June through September or something like that, and I understand there's a great increase in that activity, and they may have to have people from out of state come in to assist the Southeast Pilots Association.
In other words, we don't have any dearth of pilots, Alaska pilots, sitting around waiting for a job.
I don't think so.
And that, Representative Sherrill?
Yes. George, when is the next meeting?
Today.
You have a meeting today?
Yeah,
right,
it started at
8:30.
No wait for us.
How long will the board remain in town?
It's 2 days. It's scheduled for today and tomorrow.
Madam Chairman, what I would suggest, I would think, no reflection on these gentlemen, I think they're doing a fine job. I would strongly if this were to come up for a vote right now, I had some serious questions there about the functions of the board. I would probably go more protest vote, which would be not to confirm at this time. I would hope that maybe within the next day or so that the staff would have the opportunity. Have you seen this performance review?
Briefly.
There are some recommendations in there that it's quite possible that we as a committee could support in the form of a resolution from the committee. If we can go over this and maybe discuss it with the board, those areas of specific concern.
Where's that, Metcalf?
Chairman, I don't feel that the two questions should be tied together beyond the extent that we have common goals, commonality of goal, and policy and direction that we think the Green Pilots Association should be moving. I think that that should be a sufficient reason for confirmation. Obviously, the gentleman is quite qualified.
I don't think that's the question was brought up myself. What we would like is if you're having a meeting, if this issue be discussed quite extensively and come back with maybe some ideas. That's
basically in that direction. And not only with this problem, but with some of the other recommendations that are in here. And I would think that the board is going to be looking at these very carefully. Now, I'm concerned there, and it takes them two years there to get anything through. Mm-hmm. And that, that's much too long when we're talking about the advancements that we're making right now in terms of development of the state. You've got the whole Beluga Flats area that's going to require considerable amount of development, and if it's going to take this board 2 years to do anything that it would change regulation or to make significant changes, that's going to allow people to become involved with this as fast as we're developing, then something's wrong. And I think the committee ought to look very seriously at this.
And
I'm just a little hesitant right now in pursuing this direction right now.
I would like to state that this is, it's a confirmation hearing, and I recognize your concern, Representative Sheroff. I think it's wise that we ask the board to consider, and in as much as Mr. George is an ongoing member of the board and will be until he's confirmed again, reconfirmed, my inclination is to, as I said, not to confirm. I don't see we'd get at our problem if we could make them well aware of our problem, and have them take it to the board and have the board meet with us.
Madam Chairman, the board does not dissolve because of lack of confirmation.
If the
committee does not confirm or the legislature does not confirm, the present member of the Remain until the next appointment.
Madam Chair, may I make a recommendation?
Yes.
We have a handle on the confirmations until such time that they are voted on by the full House of this committee.
Right.
Regardless of whether we pass it out today or not, I would move that we confirm, or move to confirm, and that with that we also request each of these gentlemen to bring our concerns to the attention of the other members, and that prior to their leaving, that they make recommendation to us as to what tools they feel
projecting it.
I'm intending to put it in.
I thought you did.
I'm starting, the reason I want to say is that it's no reflection on these gentlemen here. I would tend to just move it right on out, other than they can go to the board and say that this committee takes it seriously enough not to just write carte blanche off. And with all intentions here of confirming these gentlemen, but obviously I don't have any problem with these gentlemen here personally. I would tend to go right along, but they could go and say that this committee feels strongly enough about this issue that they held off confirmation of us, and to take this issue under advisement and come up with what you possibly can as board members under discussion in your meeting. And so I would object to that on that premise. I know you're obviously ready to go on the remote, you wouldn't make the motion, but under Representative Zaroff's idea, I think it's a good one.
Madam Chairman, I concur with Representative Robert. Would you express your...
My feelings on this? Well, my feelings are that, and I realize the process of confirmation has to go through. I very definitely am concerned, and I would like to see the board work on this. However, I don't think it's a short-time solution. And my problem is that in order for the board to work on this, they need to meet more frequently, they need to have some kind of staff, they need a bigger budget type situation to handle this problem we're also concerned with. Do you all concur with that?
Madam Chairman, I agree wholeheartedly. You know, and I'm hoping that they are going to be discussing, you know, this, because there are some very serious problems brought out in here. You know, and one of those is limitations with, you know, which the board can function under.
Right.
And I would like to see something positive come out of, you know, out of their board hearing. You know, that is going to at least fall into the direction of solving these or taking care of these problems. And quite possibly, you know, as a committee member next week, you know, I would like to have something before us, and then hopefully be able to support it fully.
It might even be wrong. It might be just their guesstimates, but something. Right. You know.
Yes. Mr. Jerry.
Madam Chairman, if I may. Within the time constraints that we have, 2 days today, not in this meeting, but of our own, I'm sure that we could provide the following to the board. We have already done, at least based upon what resources and knowledge we have, a fairly extensive amount of work in identifying the problems with regard to this residency issue. Position paper has been prepared, copies have been sent to the Commerce Committee. We'd be happy to provide copies to this committee of the workup that was done there to support the various agencies we have. With regard to the other questions regarding our ability to function, our potency or impotency, I'd be happy to take that up at the board meeting tomorrow, make specific recommendations, and attach that as well for the committee's benefit. If that
very satisfactory.
Mr. George, would it be possible for you, living in Juneau and taking this matter up the board, would it be possible for you to bring those findings back next Wednesday?
I usually get nominated for that sort of work.
I figured you probably did. And I think it's very important that we do express our concern. I also think it's very important that we recognize some of the situations as far as the pilots are concerned.
With
the years of study and this sort of thing.
Pardon me, I'm sure I'll interrupt you. With regard to the problems other than the residency requirement, could Representative Zaroff perhaps give us a more particular list of those concerns that he thinks are in need of immediate attention?
I would think any of the recommendations that are outlined in here should warrant sufficient, you know, looking after. If you want me to sit down and write a list of things for you to consider with the time frames that we're working under right now and the pressure that we're working under to take care of our other legislative things, it may not be for about another 2 or 3 weeks before I can get to it.
Well, we can try to eyeball, if I may, Chair. We will try to eyeball it.
Yes, do you have copies of this report?
Yes, we either have them or they are available to us.
Right,
to
I don't have them.
And I might say something, Madam Chairman. That no way take this personally, because I don't think there's any reason to not confirm it at all.
No.
It just it gives you a handle to go back and say just what I said. We don't.
The legislature is interested, and we are concerned about some of the problems that you have to overcome, and we'd like the board to consider it at this meeting.
I don't see any problem with amending the agenda.
I think we would all appreciate that. I know I attended a meeting in Seattle that brought a lot of this sort of thing up. And it's definitely a concern, there's no doubt about it. Do we have any further? I'd like to thank you gentlemen for joining us and giving us your views. No, Ray did not make it a motion. And we'll see you next Wednesday then?
Wednesday.
If it's convenient. Before any of you leave, please indicate to Carol whether or not you're planning to attend the Kinnick Armed Crossing hearings in Anchorage. She's making the reservations. And there'll be an Anchorage and Matt Sue, and she's trying to set up meeting places and all this.
With my position on the Capitol.